what I've learned too, especially with subscriptions, there's a lot of apps out there, you know, it's hard to compete. But if you have a physical product, you have something that's tangible. Someone can touch, they can feel.
Welcome to Honest E-Commerce, a podcast dedicated to cutting through the BS and finding actionable advice for online store owners. I'm your host, Chase Clymer, and I believe running a direct-to-consumer brand does not have to be complicated or a guessing game. On this podcast, we interview founders and experts who are putting in the work and creating real results. I also share my own insights from running our top Shopify consultancy, Electric Eye. We cut the fluff in favor of facts to help you grow your e-commerce business. Let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Honest E-Commerce. I'm your host, Chase Clymer. And today, I'm welcoming to the show Brian Padone. He is the founder and CEO of Quiet Punch, a home boxing fitness company selling doorway punching bag experiences. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So quickly, Quiet Punch, give me the elevator pitch. What are you guys selling over there? What's the product?
Yeah, you kind of nailed it already in the intro. It's a doorway punching bag. That's a home boxing experience. People in small spaces want to get boxing. This is their answer.
Awesome. That's amazing. Now, take me back in time. Where'd the idea for this product come from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So when I was 13, actually, I was born and raised in Queens, New York, and then I moved to Pennsylvania. My parents wanted us to get out of the city. When we moved to the country area, my neighbor was a boxing instructor. So I started taking boxing classes. I was always in the traditional sports, baseball, basketball. Boxing seemed really interesting to me. So from 13 to like 17 or 18 or so, I was doing amateur boxing. I was competing in competitions. As I was doing that, I went to college for computer science. So I was started studying computer science, still doing the boxing. I started a boxing club for myself to keep training. Kids started coming in, and I started becoming basically like a trainer for younger kids. As I was doing that, I started to fall in love with like teaching, especially boxing. So I was still doing the computer stuff. So I had like the computer software going as well as teaching boxing. And when I moved back into New York to teach, continue teaching boxing, I realized it had to be a better way for like boxing instruction, especially in small spaces. Like in the city, everything's really tight. I lived in a really small studio. I had no, there was no bedrooms, just one room, you know, and there was no way obviously to hang a heavy bag or anything of a bigger that mostly boxing equipment requires. There's a lot of space. So I came up with the idea. I had like pull-up bars. I put them in the doorway. I had a duffel bag, set up a duffel bag, started punching it. I was like, oh, this is kind of neat and nothing like this exists. So I went out and found a like a prototype company. Again, this is like my first foray into product development. I was always doing software, so I never did anything physical. So I just thought it was exciting, and that was really the point of me starting it because I was excited to get it like out there. I wanted my whole goal was to create something that people could use and like really enjoy. And I thought for me, success would be like seeing it in somebody else who I didn't know, like actually put it up somewhere and like you know showcase it. That's how it all began. So really, from 13 when I loved boxing. Until you know the invention, the creation of Quiet Punch was in 2013 is when I first came up with the product idea.
Awesome. Can you walk me through kind of a little bit more about ideation? You said you hung a duffel bag up on a pull-up bar and said, I'm onto something here.
Yeah, you know, I still have the video, which is cool. I have that. I recorded it because like, this is kind of interesting. Yeah, it was I always had a pull-up bar, like just the typical ones that you rotate and it like kind of digs into your doorway. They rotate a lot of times and, you know, you hang on it. So I was like, I wonder if I take another one. So I bought one, like, on, I think it was Amazon, whatever. And I was like, let me put one below it. And what if I had something in the center of it? So it was just a regular duffel bag with strings on it. I strapped it to the bars on the top and the bottom. It's similar to a double end bag. If people are familiar with like boxing equipment, that's usually the ball that has a string on the top and the bottom and you hit it and it goes all over the place. It's like, it's a lot for coordination and timing. I was like, what if I did four straps to make it simpler? Because I really, when I was training people, most of them were beginners and rookies. I was like, a double end bag is definitely too complicated. So I was like, how can I simplify the process? And that's how I came up with the kind of the model that I created, which is like exists now. it's kind of a first of its kind when I first created it. There's definitely knockoffs now, but when I first made it, nothing like that was in existence yet.
Absolutely. And then when you made this prototype, did you get any validation from people that weren't yourself? Did you show anybody?
No, I mean, you know, that's a great question. So the first prototype was crazy. It was like, what did they do? It was like turnbuckles. So it was like big metal turnbuckles and the wooden back. It was really heavy, probably weighed like 10 pounds. The bungee cords were gigantic. So it was like, actually it was the top bar was on the top of your doorway and the bottom bar was the bottom of the doorway. and it sat in the dead center and it was huge, and you hit it and it would shake back and forth. It would bang into the doorways on both sides. It made a big mess. So it was actually, I had that prototype and I was playing with it. It was actually New Year's Eve, I think, in like 2014. And I was like, what if I just take the turnbuckles out and take just a little bungee cord and actually do it across? So what happened was they had corners. So it was like four corners. It was a top, we had four bands. So it was top corner, bottom, you know. So I was like, what if I just take it and strap it through the bag? And that's came up with the concept that we use today. So just to make it really easier to manage. And I love the way it reacted, because the first reactor, I just couldn't hit it and it was just going all over the place. And I hit it, I was like, oh, this is what I want. And it like kind of had a really nice movement to it. And I was like, this is the one. So I took that and then sent it over to the manufacturer. The manufacturer was referred to me by the prototype company. So I was very lucky just to find like the right prototype company and the right manufacturer, who I still use to this day, which is very rare. So it's like 10 plus years I've been using the same manufacturer, very little defects. So it's been lucky on that part.
Oh, absolutely. How did you realize that you needed to work with a prototyping company?
Yeah, you know, when I first thought of the idea, I was like, what's the next step? Because I see products out there that look all beautiful and finished. I was like, I just Googled stuff. I was like, how do you start a product? And they were mentioning prototypes, like you have to come up with some sort of concept to send the manufacturer. You know, going back now, the prototype company, it was pretty expensive and it was like very rough and I didn't understand. I was like, what do I do with this now? Cause it doesn't look like an actual product. So when I finally got it to the factory and they sent me back a sample, then it was starting to get more and more refined. Now, going back to your question, Chase, I mean, there was so many versions of this, but yeah, when I first used the product, I was doing it specifically for the clients that I was training. Like that was it. I didn't expect, kind of like your everyday person who was just wanting fitness. This is really about boxing. I was like, I wanted to be boxing skill work and, you know, very focused on that. This is before Peloton became big and everything else, right? So home fitness wasn't really like as hot as opposed to like, you know, was a Taibo and, you know, stuff in the earlier days. So we just watched video cassettes. There wasn't a lot of home equipment yet for fitness. So when I was doing this, so again, it was like focused on just doing for actual boxers. And then somebody in my class saw it and her aunt was she did like infomercials. So she was a marketing agent. So she brought me in and she's like, this is really cool because women could like tone their arms. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I was never going that route. I actually went the route of the infomercial. This is 2014. We started like putting together like a samples to say, like, okay, this could be actually on an infomercial. They wanted to use Dorothy Hamill, which is old school now. This is like, she's a figure skater from like the 70s. I don't know who she was, but I had to look her up. But she was doing like toning of her legs and like, this would be great if she could tone her arms with it. They're trying to figure out how to pitch her. So that's how we first started. It was like kind of like a whole different route. I wasn't doing e-commerce. It was just like trying to figure out, is this something that people would buy, your everyday person would purchase?
Yeah. So you made this to solve your own problem for your own one-on-one coaching clients.
Yes, exactly. It was specifically for me and for a few of my clients, maybe like 10 clients. That was
and then someone happenstance in the gym sees it and goes, hey, you can sell that on TV.
Exactly. And I was like, oh, that's a weird concept. I didn't think of that. I didn't cross my mind. And she was like, this is really cool. You could actually like do this big.
Now, were you selling these to your clients?
You know, it's funny enough, when I first got the sample from the factory, I loved it, but there's a minimum order. And that's the way they work usually, like when, you know, bulk. So it was like 1,000 or 2,000 units. And I just didn't have the money to outlay it. It was like maybe $30,000-$40,000. I was like, I don't have the cash right now to do this. So what I did was, my mom would sew like these handmade bags. And then my dad, he's kind of like a tinkerer as well. So he had like, we got some bars, some Walmart, like canes, and we cut the bars off. We tried to figure out how to make our own bars and make our own bags. So we actually produced like 20 like homemade versions. I have it, so I can always showcase. It's pretty bad. It's disgusting, but we sold it. I mean, people actually purchased it. It didn't work very well. But that was like kind of the beginning of it. The working concept.
Awesome. And that's what got noticed. And then you quickly, honestly, so do you go and do you put this on TV? Is that the next kind of thing?
So this was like a year and a half of really it was more negotiating to figure out like the terms, because what they were going to do is they were going to bring in their own investors who would fund the commercial. I was just going to become just the inventor and get a royalty. And licensing deals, what they do is typically royalties. At most, you'll get this 5%. It's very small. They're really banking that it's going to be like a really big deal. And they'll sell like millions and millions of units. You know, so I was going down that route because I didn't know any better. And I was like, all right, maybe this is what I should do. So that was like a year and a half of time of negotiating. And then they're trying to come up with a version that costs less, because even when we got it down to like the bare minimum, the quality still needs to be good because you're punching it. And I didn't want to produce something that would just like fall apart immediately. So the cost was still a little too high and they weren't happy with it. So the quote unquote investors that were coming in, they were like, you know what? Let's just scrap this because we want to sell this for like $29.99. On you know, TV. You know, we can't have a price of, you know, $79, $89. No one's going to want to buy this. So after a year and a half, they just dropped it. I signed everything. And then they're like, you know, this isn't going to work. And they dropped it. And they're like, we're not doing this. You know, good luck. Go on your way.
I'm assuming during that time, you learned a lot.
I did learn a lot, you know, and also a lot of expectations. And, you know, realizing when I went back to the manufacturer, and he's a close friend of mine now, he was like, Brian, he's like, your product is good. You have a good concept. He's like, do it yourself. You know, no one else is going to help you get this thing out there. You know, if you're going to put your, you know, time and energy in, like, do it yourself. You know, you have enough resources. You know, I'll stick with you, you know, whatever you need. If you want a lower minimum order, we can work on that. But let's, you know, forget that. Forget the infomercial. Forget all that crap. You know, forget trying to get a royalty. Like, you should be able to, whatever you're producing, you should be able to get paid for it.
Hey there, merchant. Are you tired of trying to navigate the wild world of e-commerce on your own? Are you looking for a partner to help you achieve your goals? Look no further than the Shopify Plus agency, Electric Eye. Our team has a proven track record of helping our clients make millions with strategic design and development. Whether you're migrating from a legacy platform to Shopify, designing a new theme for your store, or just looking to optimize what you already have, Electric Eye is the perfect partner for you. Electric Eye are true Shopify experts. Not only is our Shopify knowledge unparalleled, but we have partnerships with all the best tech in the Shopify ecosystem. And don't worry, we're easy to get a hold of. Our clients rave about our fast communication. So here's the deal. If you're an e-commerce business doing over $1 million a year, you can receive a complimentary Shopify diagnostic from our team of experts. That's free, personalized, strategic recommendations to improve your store and grow your business. To get started, head on over to electriceye.io/connect to schedule an intro call with one of our experts. That's electriceye.io/connect. Today's episode is sponsored by IntelliGems, the ultimate A/B testing and profit optimization platform for Shopify merchants. You're investing tons of time and money to drive traffic to your store, but are you doing everything you can to convert that traffic into profits? With IntelliGems, you can stop guessing and start making strategic decisions. IntelliGems platform enables you to A/B test everything from themes to pricing so you can understand what makes your customers tick and click. Whether you're tweaking your UX, testing prices and offers, or trying out different shipping rates, IntelliGems provides real-time insights that can directly influence your store's profitability. Join the ranks of over 1,000 Shopify stores that are already maximizing their potential with IntelliGems. Setup is quick, and the results are undeniable. If you're not experimenting, you're leaving money on the table. It's that simple. Elevate your e-commerce strategy today. Visit intelligems.io/honest-ecommerce and use code honest-ecommerce for 10% off your first month. You can also find IntelliGems on the Shopify App Store and get a 7-day free trial. So a bit of a missed start on getting on infomercials. So how did we get these customers? What was the go-to-market strategy?
Yeah, so what happened was, actually, it's funny enough, when that time happened, I filed for a patent. So it's publicly filed, the product that I have. I let it drop. So I did the non-provisional and I went for the, I did the provisional patent. I was going for the non-provisional and I let it drop during this infomercial time. So I'm like, forget it. It's, maybe this will never happen. That will come up later in the story, but I was like, well, it doesn't matter. Like maybe this will never work. So what happened was, let me rewind back. So yeah. So what happened was I was teaching the classes in New York and the classes were growing. So I was getting more and more customers. More and more people coming and training. And I was like, you know what? The other gym owner in New York, he was like, hey, Brian, like, I see what you're doing. You have a good group of people. He's like, what would it take if I wanted to purchase the classes from you and your members? Like, what would your price be? So I was like, oh, interesting. So I went back to the manufacturer. I figured out the minimum order quantity. So the number of units I needed to purchase directly from them. And it was, that was like 30,000. And I was like, I need $30,000 if you want these classes from me. So he paid me $30,000. I sold off the members and all the classes I was teaching. So that money I took directly to the manufacturer. We got 1,000 units produced. They got shipped to the States and they actually went into my parents' house. They went to my childhood bedroom, the boxes. It was like floor to ceiling boxes of units. And this is now in 2016 is when I got all the units in. So now I had 1,000 units and they were good. They were actually like good quality. There's still things I need to work on with it. And I started to do my own thing on e-commerce and I was, okay, let's sell it. You know, so I started doing some, paid ads. It was very slow, Chase. It was very, very slow. I'm talking maybe we did maybe 10 orders a month, right? It was really slow. And then what happened was Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather were fighting in 2017. It was a big social media thing because now it was like the worlds were colliding. You had a big MMA fighter. You had obviously a big boxing fighter. People showed interest to this fight because it was like a crossover. And what happened was in the end of 2017, I got a unit out to somebody, one of the instructors of Peloton. She does boxing too. She was punching the bag. She really likes it. She put up a video, nothing spectacular about this video. It's just a woman punching the bag. What happened was when that fight happened, then very next day on Facebook, the video went viral. So just her punching it. It wasn't really an ad and people started flocking to the website. So besides the video being viral and people like sharing it, I'm gonna say we got like 50,000 shares of the video itself. But what happened was people were actually coming to the website and purchasing. So in that one day when that video went viral, I'm gonna say I sold maybe like 500 units. It was that quick. It was pretty chaotic to the fact where we're getting close to Christmas. So I actually talked to the manufacturer, got a good amount of sales. And then I worked on flying them a new set of units in for Christmas. So I paid a lot of money. I learned about import and stuff too as well, like with boat and plane and, you know, what that costs as well. Yes. But yeah, so that gave us a really amazing kickstart. So when the video went viral, we got a huge traction and we sold out. And then I did a pre-order and the pre-order, it was amazing. I said it for October 1st. I remember that's October 1st, 2017. I went on sale and that very day I sold 550 units in the one day. So it was like from doing again, like 20 orders a month to like 500 in one day. It was like a night and day difference.
Sometimes when I'm doing these interviews, I ask people, you know, was there a moment where you're like, oh, I think we're onto something. I'm assuming that was the moment.
Yes. that was the moment. Yeah, exactly. It went from like worried about like, how am I ever going to place any orders to how am I going to fulfill the orders? So like worries just shifted. Yeah.
So here's something I want to know. And I oftentimes talk about this when it's more on the agency side of things, when I'm talking to clients and I'm like, well, we build this cool, awesome website. How are we going to get people there? And they're like, oh, we want something to go viral. Right. Remember that was like a huge thing forever ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like you can never bank on that. Those are like almost like acts of God. It's like lightning striking. Mm-hmm. It's just, you can't, you know, Kanye's not going to wear your t-shirt. And if he does,
right.
Congrats. Right.
You, yes.
These things
yes.
are, you don't have control of them. Right. You
Absolutely.
Were lucky enough to benefit from Zeitgeist. Just it happened mm-hmm. for you. Awesome.
Absolutely.
How do you capitalize on that? How do you roll that into sustainable growth or mm-hmm. did it go back down to 10 a week?
Well, that's exactly what, yeah. So we rode that wave. The wave lasted, I'm going to say about 6 months, just because of keeping pre-orders. I didn't even do it by practice. It was kind of just happened by chance. When I started limiting the amount of units I was selling, it created more of a demand, right? So I didn't do it on purpose. I wasn't trying to trick anybody, but we just were low on supply.
Accidental scarcity.
Absolutely. And people went nuts. They were just like trying to get it, like figure out how could they get it. So every time I did a pre-order, I would do it from, I had maybe like 60 units to sell at a time. And it would go from like 12 p.m. to 12:01 p.m. I would sell all 60 that quickly. And then somebody like, hey, I just was in the checkout and where did it go? I'm like, I'm sorry. But long story short, so that lasted about 6 months and then I needed something else, right? If I could rewind back, I would have added either more products to the product line or really started work on the subscription. So my background's in software development. So I do have an app. I did add a punch tracker to this technology to the product as well now, but I never did a subscription. So, you know, that's a tidbit I would offer to other people. It's like, you know, if you got the momentum going, figure out how you can continue to like make it even like, sustainable revenue. Cause we're selling a product. It's really like a one-off, right? Somebody buys a product. Maybe a year later, they buy it again. Maybe they tell their friends. Maybe they don't. So what happened was, yeah, about 6 months, we kind of peppered out. I was still doing sales pretty well. I was doing the Facebook ads now. I had a pretty good flow going. And then I got a call from Shark Tank. So they saw the ads. They saw the videos because it was still like kind of momentum was flowing. Producers reach out to people. I don't know if you've spoken to anyone who's ever like, you know, interacted with the show. But what happened was they reached out and they were like, you know, this is interesting. Would you be interested? this was like another long process going back and forth and submitting videos. They had like an opening came up. So I flew out to California, and this is in 2018, so the next year. I pitched, got behind the scenes a deal with Damon John, and I was like, okay, this is my next thing, right? So, you know, we had the buzz going. Now I'm going to get the next wave that will really take me up. It didn't happen. So I got the deal, and I waited for the producers to call and say, okay, here's when your episode is going to air. This is in 2019 now. And I was starting to prepare, like, maybe this is not going to air at all. So I got a call from the producers, like, yeah, your episode's not going to air. I talked to Damon John. He's like, yeah, without the episode airing, he's like, this is not worth it. You know, there's no deal here. So that was like a low in the flow, right? I was like, okay, this is great. I'm going to ride one to the next. So that didn't happen. So what it did was teach me to, okay, I got to figure out how do I be sustainable. And that was at that moment doing a lot of work on the marketing side for the ads, mostly social media. So Facebook, Instagram, Google here and there, but it was really Facebook and Instagram that kept the flow going and got more people coming in. And then I got on Amazon. It was just like, kind of just kept stacking. And it was like slow growth again. So I had the buzz and then the slow growth, had to kind of go dial it back and then figure out what would be sustainable. So that's how I continued on then from like 2019 until here we are today.
Absolutely. We glossed over something that I mentioned that I wanted to talk about with you when we first spoke a few weeks back, which was the subscription element on top of a physical product. And I think that that, as a part of your business model, is such a smart play. So walk me through it. 101 level, I'm an idiot. Tell me why this is a good idea and how it's making you money.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the subscription is it's like the bread and butter. So I have a competitor, they're called Fight Camp. And I know the CEO, we talk sometimes. And he was like, I'm not a product company, I'm a subscription company. And I found that really interesting. I'm like, wow, you know, you're making a product, yet you're defining yourself as a subscription company. So, I mean, I think when I feel like if someone likes your product, and what I've learned too, especially with subscriptions, there's a lot of apps out there, you know, it's hard to compete. But if you have a physical product, you have something that's tangible. Someone can touch, they can feel like, I really like this. This is something I want to do. How can I continue using it? So the subscription adds to that, right? So they have the physical, and now they want to add in something that, you know, they can do on a regular basis to keep it, you know, consistent. So the subscription is really important because now they have something. It's also holding them accountable. And I also learned too that free is great. However, with free, you also don't get accountability and people don't feel as inclined to continue using what you have. This is why it's great with like SoulCycle and, you know, the other products out there. If you're paying monthly, you're like, you know what? I'm going to use this again. I'm paying for it. You know, so it actually, besides, I don't like to charge people for things if I don't feel like I should charge them, but what it does do is give accountability to them as well. So what's happening now is with the product, it's like adding in the subscription for people. So they have the on-demand already that's free and available. It's now adding another element of content that will keep them accountable as they're using the product. So that's like really it's like the next stage for what we're doing. So they have the product, they like using it, and now they're, okay, now I have something that I can use on a daily or weekly basis. I'm paying for it because, you know, I want to use it, and it keeps them using it because they're paying for it. So, you know, for us though, that's really important because again, they buy the product one time and then maybe a year or 2 years later, they might buy again, but that's it. So we need to have this consistent revenue coming in to keep the company going.
And so, I'm on the website, I've been playing with the website. And so from what I'm understanding, the app is free and you can get some data from interacting with the bag. If you have, you know, the technology plugin on the bag, the subscription, though, is that classes and that's training? Is that what I'm paying for?
Exactly. So it's classes and training. It's still in working form right now. So we only have a few amount of members that are on it, the ones that are like our consistent members. So we're still testing the subscription. So it's not actually like a live thing that right now you buy it and you just get the subscription. So we still have a big pool of people. So yeah, you're looking at the website, you're absolutely right. Everything is like free. But we're adding in a component now that people are like, okay, I'm willing to pay for this. So we've been beta testing at the moment of like what people will pay for. And what they've want to pay for is, besides the one-on-one training, also the small group training is really important to them because they want to work on their technique. So we have a lot of on-demand people can follow along, but the consensus I've been getting from people is like, am I doing it right? Like, is my form correct? I don't really know. You know, I got in there, I like this. And that's kind of what I've learned too with the boxing. It's like a nice gateway into fitness where they're like punching something and they're starting to, oh wait, I'm actually working out. And now they're like, hey, you know, I watched a boxing event or I And this is like the beauty of Jake Paul and like the social media people. They keep adding more and more like presence to the sport of boxing. And then people are like, I want to learn a little more technique. Am I doing this correctly? So that's like the next step. And now that we have a relationship with them, it's much easier to like pitch. It's not a hard sell anymore. It's pretty much a soft sell because they're like, I'm already using this. What else can I get from this? Instead of just like, hey, you got to get this subscription. And that's the only way to be able to use the content. So it's like a freemium version, right? So they have a lot of the stuff, but now it's like, okay, I really want to take this to the next level. What can you offer for me?
Absolutely. That's amazing. And it's definitely going to change your business. Brian, is there anything I didn't ask you about today that you think would resonate with our audience?
I guess, you know, the question, Chase, that I get a lot, because, you know, I talk to a lot of, especially startups and startup founders, they kind of want to know, like, I think, like, do they have a good idea, you know, and is it worth pursuing? I think it's a good question because, you know, a lot of people come up with ideas. I got this idea. It's great. I'm not going to tell you because you'll steal my idea. You know, what I've learned too is like, you know, idea is amazing, but again, it's like the combination of the idea plus execution, right? That really matters. So I feel like if you love something, you're like, this is awesome. That's key right now. Like you have to something you really want to do, especially if you're not going to make any money with it. But then it's really like, taking the next step, right? It's like executing. It's okay. What does that look like? You know, also planning out, okay, this may take me, you know, 2-4 years to start seeing some like results. You know, I think we get jaded watching or looking at things and be like, oh, this is how these founders do it. You watch like, you know, the founder of Uber, like you watch these documentaries. Oh my God, they just came up with an idea. And like a couple months later, like, you know, investors are knocking down their door and they're trying to give them tons and tons of cash. I mean, it does happen, but it's like, just like in the boxing world, it's a very small percentage. There's only a few like Floyd Mayweathers and like these great fighters who get a lot of money. A lot of them don't get paid at all. So it's like, you know, it's just really, I think it takes time. I mean, that's usually the thing when people ask me, I'm like, well, why don't you work on it first? See if people are interested, you know, even if it's like a sample, like you usually call it, like, you know, MVP, like a minimum viable product, like create something very basic and then see if people like it and want to use it. And then from there, like you can start to stack up.
Yep. That's amazing advice. Brian, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today. There's going to be links down below to a lot of the stuff that we chatted about. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
You too. Thank you, James.
We can't thank our guests enough for coming on the show and sharing their knowledge and journey with us. We've got a lot to think about and potentially add into our own businesses. You can find all the links in the show notes. You can subscribe to the newsletter at honestecommerce.co to get each episode delivered right into your inbox. If you're enjoying this content, consider leaving a review on iTunes. That really helps us out. Lastly, if you're a store owner looking for an amazing partner to help you get your Shopify store to the next level, reach out to Electric Eye at electriceye.io/connect. Until next time.